All right, time to bring in the professor and as the third base coach of the Giants, and that is Ron Wotus. Well, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Rabbi. I'm doing extremely well. Extremely well. You know, walking through the corridor this morning, we have lots and lots of pallets of hot dog and hamburger buns, which I haven't seen. You know, now that we're open to 50%, and the crowds the last two nights have been fantastic. It's so nice to get the energy of our home crowd here at the ballpark, and it just adds so much to the game. And so I'm so appreciative of the people coming out and socially distanced, and also in these vaccinated sections. And it brings a lot of electricity here to the ballpark.
Yeah, it's nice walking down that corridor in the morning, isn't it? I love it. I miss it, of walking past the beer and the hot dog rolls and the potatoes and all that. It reminds me of, you know, a market in France, you know, the opening of the 5 a.m.
Right.
with the food coming in with the truck, doesn't it?
Right. Well, you know, a lot of morning people, they love the mornings. It's peaceful. It's quiet. And the walk is great. You get to say hello to the people here working at the ballpark, walking through. So it's so great that we can do that again. That's a simple thing that we haven't been able to do, right? You have to have in your own entrance and stay away. So, and then sitting out here on the field in the morning and watching Greg Elliott and his staff go to work and watch some of the people come in. I saw the great Matt Chisholm, our PR director, walking in. Alyssa Nacka was out there doing some walking on the field. And right now they're spreading the kitty litter on the infield dirt, you know, the turfus, which keeps the moisture in the field. And so it's fun to see this thing come to life.
Boy, you know, it's Giants-Dodgers, and you've been part of it for so many years, and you and I have chatted about this, that you felt it in the minor leagues. But, boy, on the major league level, there's something special. Willie McCovey said it best. He said, you can see the electricity when you walk off the plane going into L.A. And that, I thought that was a good quote.
That is a good quote. A little Yogi Berish there. You can see the electricity. Yes, and I felt it. You know, I felt it. I mean, I even anticipated on the flight coming home from Cincinnati. You knew that we were getting more people in the stands and we're finally playing the Dodgers. This has to be a first in the history of the schedule makers to not play the Dodgers to this point in the season. And it didn't disappoint. You know, more people in the stands. They were into it. And it certainly helps us here at home.
What do you think of Trevor Bauer the other night? Now, of course, Krug did a great job. I don't know if you heard it driving home last night, but breaking down what the Dodger pitchers are doing with fastball, 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 and Giants have got to adjust to that. But what do you think of Bauer on Friday night and working the crowd, the Tommy Lasorda-ish working the crowd?
Yeah, well, I was impressed with him as a pitcher. You know, but the rest of the antics isn't really my style. So I really don't have much to say about him walking off the field, you know, putting his hand to his ear to egg the fans on, to boo him. You know, it's a little Tommy Lasorda-like. I guess we expect that from Dodgers, right? Tommy Lasorda used to get the crowd going here in San Francisco. I remember him walking across the field at Candlestick and egging the crowd on. Many, many times, because he would always get booed. But, you know, the fans love that. That's part of theatrics of the game today. But back to his pitching, you know, I've never seen him pitch against us. And he's good. He's one of the top pitchers in the league. And so is the guy they threw last night, Buehler. And you mentioned Krug talking about the fastballs. Well, they have electric fastballs. And when you face good pitching like that, and that's the strength of the Dodger team is the starting pitching, it's going to be tough to score runs. And, you know, here we are sitting, you know, 0-2 in the series, and they're the major reason for that.
You know, you had a shot to score a couple of runs off Bauer, and he crazily threw the ball away over Pujols' head in the seventh inning. One run got in, and Craw, I think, was the next run, but it just wasn't enough room to get him in there.
No, there wasn't. The ball didn't get away far enough to send Craw, and, you know, that was our opportunity in a close game like that, right? Woody pitched another great game for us, you know, gave one home run to Taylor, And that's the difference in the ball game. And, you know, we've played like this over the years. And that's what you come to expect when you're facing a, you know, a Bauer or a Buehler, or you have Lincecum on the mound, or Holiday, or Randy Johnson. You expect a low scoring game. And, you know, every pitch, every play, every opportunity to score is elevated. And that's the difference in the game. And, you know, they came out on top. We had our chance in that inning, like you said. We only had a couple of chances, really, to push runs across besides a home run. But when you're facing those good pitchers, it's harder to hit the ball out of the ballpark. It's a lot easier, you know, to get a guy in from third with a fly ball or you know, a ground ball off the infield's back. So that was the difference in the game. It was a good game, well-played game on Friday night.
You know, it's funny, you were talking about Candlestick, and the image came to my mind. People don't remember, but in Candlestick, the visiting clubhouse, you had to walk down to right field, in the right field corner, to go through those doors to get to the visiting clubhouse. And if a pitcher was taken out or someone left the bench or Lasorda did it, it was a long, dramatic walk. Remember that?
Yeah, it was. To the point where Lasorda, you know, he would get booed and he would wave his arms up in the air. But you're right, with certain pitchers and certain players that the fans didn't like or didn't appreciate, it was the same thing. You know, they're walking on the field for almost 2 minutes to get off the field. And that was very unique. And now, you know, the guy just walks off the mound and gets into the dugout. You don't see that type of thing.
No. Well, you said something interesting. That is getting a runner in from third with less than two out. Well, it's a different game today with the walks, strikeouts, and home runs. Hitters don't choke up. They don't shorten up. Do you see that? Is it? It's more difficult from your perspective as well to know, can a guy get a guy in from third base with less than two out?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, as long as I'd been in the game, that was one of the things you would pride yourself on, is you get that guy on third base with less than two outs. If the infield's back, you simply would hit a ground ball to get him in if you had to. If the infield was in, you'd hit a fly ball, and we worked on that a lot. And they work on it today, but it's not the same. You know, the strikeouts are way, way up, and it's just, quite frankly, not talked about. I think the analytical part of the game today is they want everybody taking their A swing. They still want them, you know, and look, a lot of people still want guys to get that guy in, don't get me wrong, but they don't want you really manipulating your swing just to, you know, put the ball in play. They want you taking your A swing, and hopefully you can drive the ball and get more than a one run. But it is different. It's not as talked about and worked on today as with many things in the game, how the game keeps evolving.
You know, it's funny. We talk about this probably once a month, this contact play for is it on, is it not on from third base. And there's so much that goes into the decision. We saw it this week. There was a couple of plays. One went, one didn't go, one was thrown out. There's a lot that goes into your decision whether to put that play on.
Yeah, no, there is. And, you know, if you think about a game like the Friday night game and you got a real good pitcher like Bauer on, I mean, and if you have, I think the bottom line is if you got a good pitcher on the mound and you don't have a hitter that, you know, is swinging as good and you have speed at third, those are a lot of the elements where you're going to think about sending that guy on contact. The other most important element is the score. I mean, you're not going to try to send the guy on contact if you're down by three runs, right? You need multiple runs. You'd rather, you know, if the guy hits a ground ball, you'd rather keep him there, not take a chance of getting him thrown out, and maybe the next guy can get a hit or drive him in. So there's a lot of factors, but speed at third is very, very important on the contact play, because if the ball is hit right at the fielder, a guy with really good speed can make it a close play and sometimes, you know, get in there like Slater did this year. But the slower guys, they can't do it. But the other element of the contact play is the ball's not always hit right at the fielder. You're rolling the dice to some mm-hmm. degree. If the ball's hit to the right or the left, then the infielder's got to go a couple of steps. Now that gives that runner another opportunity. So you may send a slower guy at times. So you have the pitcher coming up and you got a real good pitcher on the mound. I mean, you might roll the dice and say, hey, if he puts it in play in the infield, it might not be right at the infielder, and you take that chance, and that's what we do sometimes as well. So the last factor, not to get long-winded, but you mentioned it, there are a lot of factors, is whether there's a righty or a lefty hitting. The runner at third could get a much bigger lead if it's a left-handed hitter and that third baseman is playing off the line towards shortstop. Well, he can cheat down the line a little bit more. And the smart teams, when they see you might be going on contact, they won't allow that to happen. Even with a lefty up, they'll take the third baseman and put him closer to third. So he has a much more difficult time to score because he can't get as big a lead and as good as jump. So there's a lot of elements, a long-winded answer for you there, Marty.
Oh, that's why you're the professor. That's why Sunday, it's great stuff. I can't tell you how many high school coaches and people comment to me how much they like this part of the show. Because it's fundamental baseball, and you can't win without it. So I think it's terrific, and the images you portray are wonderful. Well, yesterday we saw a squeeze play. How about that? Belt unfortunately had to eat it, but how about that play?
Yeah, safety squeeze. We felt it was a possibility there. It's another play that's extremely difficult to defend. You have first and third. You have a fast runner at first. And you have a decent runner at third. It doesn't have to be a burner. But when the first baseman's holding the guy on, the first baseman can't release from the base because you have a fast runner. He'll steal the base. So he has to wait and see until he sees that guy square. And Barnes pushed the ball perfectly to Belt. He crashed as quickly as he could. But the runner at third had enough speed where there was no play at the plate. And I thought he did a good thing for us. He didn't force the throw home because then everybody's safe and then the inning continues. But he knew he didn't have a play at the plate and he got the out at first base. So that's one of those plays, the safety squeeze. If you have the right elements in place and you put the ball down where you want to, it's very difficult to defend. You really can't defend it unless, there's nobody on first. You can bring the first baseman way in and be ready for it. But you can't do that with a base stealer on first where the guy might run.
Good. Boy, that's a great point. I hadn't thought about that. Great point. That's right. So if there's no one on first, Belt can crash right away, and they may not even try it at that point. Okay.
Exactly. You'll leave him in more. He won't be on the base. He could be in a couple steps like the third baseman when he protects for the bunt. You bring the first baseman in on the grass a little bit more if it's a high likelihood that the guy might do that. But with a runner on first, it gets a little more difficult.
I like it. All right. Good story yesterday. And, I joked on the air before the game, Scott Kazmir, 37. I said, well, he's had 5 years rest. He ought to be, ready to go. And, well, this, 37 years old, and Muncy hit one into the ocean, like he likes to say. But other than that, I thought Kazmir was terrific yesterday.
He was terrific. That's a great point. He was well-rested, and it showed. It showed, Marty, because he did a great job for us. We were hoping for 2-3 innings. He was able to give us 4 with one run. Muncy has gotten a lot of left-handers over his career. Really, that was the only blemish of an outstanding start. And I got to tip my hat to him for his perseverance, having 5 years off, coming back and doing what he did. He's a humble kid. I get to know him a little bit in spring. And I'm just really happy for him and happy for us that he was able to contribute at that level, a veteran guy like that. And I'm sure he's got a great appreciation for being back in the big leagues, a perspective that not many of us have, being out of the game for 5 years and then coming back. So great story, yeah.
Yeah, I would assume he's going to stick around.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, we'll see what's happening with Webby.
Right.
His health is the big question. But there's, I haven't had an update recently, but there is a possibility that, he'll have to miss another start. So, and anything's possible, right? You pitch well, and then maybe you find yourself in a spot in the bullpen. So, you're constantly adjusting your players on the field. That's a great story for Kat.
Yeah, good story. Very good story. Hey, looking at a couple of things. One, Tony La Russa was in the news this week. Whoa, and it's a fundamental part of baseball, and I always love to get your opinion on this. The kid Mercedes was up. The infielder was pitching against him, and it was 3-0. And did he see the take sign? Maybe he didn't. But La Russa didn't want him to swing 3-0 because the White Sox were winning so big. And the kid said, ah, forget it, I'm swinging. And he hit one out. And, of course, then the controversy started within the clubhouse and the manager as to sportsmanship and what should happen. What do you think of all that?
Well, there's a lot of different opinions here at play. And I think the one that's most obvious to me, having, you know, heard the fallout from this, you know, talking to our own players, a couple guys asked me, you know, what we thought about someone swinging 3-0. That conversation's been going around. I've talked to staff, talked to a lot of people. And the attitude today seems to be that why should I take 3-0? Especially if you have a position player pitching in the game. You've already conceded the game. It's already difficult to hit. Why am I taking 3-0 and giving this guy a strike in this scenario? And, of course, you know, Tony's old school, and that's the way the game was played. And I think the generation today doesn't necessarily – I mean, they understand running up the score, you know, not stealing, not bunting, but they feel it's so difficult to hit, and that's what they get paid to do. And I'm summarizing here, but I'm finding that a lot of them believe that it's okay to swing 3-0. Why should I give him a strike? What's the difference? Do I swing 0-0? I swing 0-0. And the other team conceded the game. So, you know, what's the big deal type thing? And I think you're going to see this generation is going to dictate if this becomes commonplace. And quite frankly, I think it's going to become commonplace. You may have a couple brouhahas over it. You know, just like you did with Tony. And Tony's old school. And I think all the players wanted Tony to back the player. But Tony has strong beliefs. That's the way he's always played the game. And, you know, he didn't defend his player. He was speaking from the heart. So I think it's a little bit of a generation shift here. And we'll see. I think you're going to see a lot more of it, Marty. And you brought up a good point the other day about the game used to police itself with brushing guys back or hitting somebody. But that's gone now. So, you know, how are these things policed today? And, you know, the league doesn't step in to have any parameters, but there's a lot of questions about the unwritten rules. And I'm hearing a lot of conversation about those types of things.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, you can't brush anybody back. If you do, you'll be thrown out for a week because they give you the warnings because they know what's coming, the umpires. Boy, Bill Lasky, good morning, Bill. What do you think about this subject? I know you were part of this when you played.
Well, if it was Ron, I'd probably drill him, you know, just to, you know, make things worse and start something up with WOTUS. You know, he's that type of guy that you can just drill him. He won't come out at you. So that would be the first thing I'd probably do. But, you know, the two things, gentlemen, that I want to talk about is, Ron, I understand you hurt your shoulder in Cincinnati after you waved in 19 runs because the last two games, the shoulder seemed stiff at third base, and maybe we can get Dave Greschner to possibly stretch that shoulder out today.
Well, you know, Bill, I try to stay out of the training room. I spent so much time in there over the years that I really feel bad for the trainers. So I just got it up with bad arm now. And you're right, it's seizing up on me a little bit. But it's well rested, like Kaz was, and hopefully it'll come to life today.
Well, I do want to ask you a question. You guys are talking about runners on third. And one thing happened in Cincinnati with Talkman at third. Less than two outs. And then last night, Bryce Johnson scored the winning run in the Rivercat game with a runner on third. And that's, as you said, Marty, a lot of coaches and kids listen to this, and I think this is really important, in leading off third base in foul territory but coming back to third base in fair territory, because both these runs scored with the catcher trying to pick off the runner at third and they threw it wild. Can you expand a little bit more on that run?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You know, bringing the contact play back into the picture with a runner on third with the infield in, you want to be, you always want to start in foul territory, whether it's a contact play or not. But on a contact play, you want to be in foul territory, but closer to the line for two reasons. One, it's, you know, a more of a direct line to home. It's a little bit quicker, not a big difference. But two, to your point, Bill, is when that pitch gets by the pitcher, by the batter, the biggest fear for me as a coach and the runner is they're going to try a pickoff play like you see teams did. They did it at Pittsburgh with us. So when you come back to third base, you want to be in the line of the throw, which is right in that baseline, you know, or on the infield side. That's where they're trying to throw the ball. So you're down in foul, you come back in fair, and if he throws it at you, you know, it's harder to catch for the third baseman and gets blocked down. Sometimes, you know, the ball hits you. You want to get in the line of the throw. So that's a great point, Bill. I mean, that's a fundamental that needs to happen when you're at third base, even not on a contact play, because they can always try a pickoff at any point in time. The catcher can throw down the third if you get too far down the line.
Well, even running first to second, if the first baseman's got to throw to second, you want to get in the way of the ball and read the infielder where he is. I know we've talked about that. One thing I want to bring up, and that is this kid Peters for L.A. Boy, a big kid, 6'5", and he can fly. He reminds me of Matt Kemp. First time I ever saw Matt Kemp run. Is any comparison for you?
Yeah, a little bit. He, you know, his secondary leads, he's real low in his crouch, and it did remind me of Matt Kemp a little bit now that you mention it. That didn't come to light immediately, but watching him run, there's some mannerisms that are very similar to him, no doubt about it.
You know, the other thing, and I'll bring it up as we conclude here, it's great to talk with you this Sunday morning. God, Giants-Dodgers coming up, talking baseball. It's May, one game out. Well, what could be better than that? A lot of players are going for doubles on balls that are kind of hit, you know, medium outfield, a little bit in the gap. You got guys every day. Posey did it. This kid Peters did it. You see it constantly. Well, are outfielders not getting to the ball quickly enough? And maybe it's just me, but it seems like more people are trying to stretch singles into doubles.
Well, that's great to see for me. I mean, you know, I love the base running aspect of the game. And, you know, too many guys in the game today will split the outfield gap or hit the ball between the outfields, and they'll jog down to first, take their big turn, and then point to the sky and say hi to the first baseman instead of thinking about getting the second base. You know, when you hit that ball, and that's how you turn a single into the double, you got to run right out of the box and put yourself in position to get to the extra base, so to the next base. And, you know, I don't think it's happening. I don't think it's the outfielders are doing anything different. I just think you have some players that want to be players. They want to push the envelope. And that's what you're supposed to do, is if you split that gap, think about two. You have a single already. You try to get to the next base. And just by running hard out of the box, you know, if the outfielder runs over there and bobbles it, now you're in a position to continue on the bobble. But if you just jog around and take that big wide turn because you have the single, you have no chance to get to the next base. Mm.
Good one. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up. Bill, anything else from you?
No, I just think the biggest thing is just like Ron was saying with Bauer and Bueller last night, both these guys in the middle innings just went straight fastball, and the Giants just couldn't pick it up. A belt elevated fastball blew it right by him in certain scenarios. Today with Urias, I'd like to hear what Ron has to say. What does the Giants have to do to score some runs and get some early rallies going?
Yeah, Bill, it's a great question. It's easier said than done, right, mm-hmm. when guys have good stuff. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Bauer's got good breaking stuff as well. I mean, he gets a lot of spin on the ball. But the guy yesterday, Bueller, he challenges with that heater. And he's got a heater that got a lot of spin on it, too. I mean, a rotation, and it's tough to square up. You see a lot of low strikes being taken because it looks like it's going to be low and it stays right on that string, kind of like you used to throw them, Bill, or maybe not.
Well, I tried.
I know you have that sinker. Yeah, you tried. But the guy today, he's got good stuff too. He's got good life on his fastball. He throws a lot of balls up. We can't chase that ball up on him. But he's got an outstanding changeup for the right-handed hitters, and that's what makes him tough against the righties. As you know, picking up the fastball and the changeup can be difficult. It's easier to read a breaking ball because of the spin, but that's the beauty of the changeup. So, you know, I think we got to get him in the zone and not chase, and that's easier said than done when a guy has good stuff, because the reaction and picking up the spin on the ball is difficult when you have the stuff that this kid has.
Mm. Well, maybe hit the first pitch, 8-for-21 on the first pitch with two homers. So that's well above anything. So maybe be more aggressive. Well, great to have you on. I heard from Colleen Edwards this week from River Islands. A new ground isn't broken on another K-8 school, so things are cooking at River Islands.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, they just keep growing and growing and growing. That's because so many people are out there, you know, buying the homes. The new school, as you said, the units, there's still plenty of units for sale. The town keeps growing, and we've been out there several times, Marty, and we know why, all the amenities they have and things to enjoy. So, I'm happy for them. It's a great community out there, and I'm glad they're still growing.
Well, have a great day today. As Bill says, get the arm loose, and we'll talk to you next weekend.
Thanks, Ron.
All right, Rabbi. Good being with you. Thinker, Slider, Phone Chip. You have a great day, okay?
All right. Take care of yourself. All right. That is our third base coach, Ron Wotus. Bill, you got J.P. Hornstra coming up. We'll take a quick break, right?
I sure do. He's an ML reporter. He works for the Southern California News Group. We're going to talk a little Dodgers and see what he has to say about this hot Dodger team.
Yeah, we've had him on. I like JP. Does a good job. All right, more coming up right here. KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.